How do you pray? Who do you pray to? Do you have one of the Trinity that you pray to the most, like maybe to the Father, to the transcendent source of all that is? Do you pray to Jesus, the risen Christ? Do you pray to the Spirit? Or do you pray to all three? How do you pray? Who do you pray to? How you pray says a lot about what you believe in God and how you understand God. In the Mass, we pray the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing here. This is all about the Trinity in Mass, joining ourselves with Christ in the Spirit to the Father. It's Trinity, all Trinity stuff. You don't even have to make a profession of faith here. We're acting it out liturgically. One of the prayers that I use, I call it my Trinitarian prayer. I pray at times, it all depends on, I guess, my mood or where I'm at in my life. I pray to all three throughout the day. I mean, many of you pray Our Father. That's praying to the Father, Our Father who art in heaven. You pray to the Father, the source. But anyhow, this is my prayer, and I've shared it with you before, and it's my Trinitarian prayer that I learned from a book called Integral Christianity, which I highly recommend, by Paul Smith. He's been a pastor for 50 years. Anyhow, Paul taught me this prayer because his community does this prayer. And I started out in my driveway, and I raised my arms up, and I faced the sun, I faced the east, and I raised my arms up, and I pray, and I say, infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. And I just pause for a while and breathe in, breathe out, just to take that in, that I'm in God and I'm living in God right now. And then I pull my hands down in front of me, like traditional prayer thing. And then I say, intimate God, Jesus the Christ. You said you were with me in my journey, so I take it that you're always with me. So I know in my journey today, Christ is with me. And then I put my hands over my chest and say, inner God, Holy Spirit, now I'm the love and the light in the world. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's why we were given the Spirit, so that we would be God's light and love in the world. And that's my Trinitarian prayer, the three faces of God. So I don't know how you pray, but that's one of my prayers. And then, of course, deep silence. I go into deep silence, but in meditation, and then there's no calling upon anyone. It's just being silent and seeing what happens in the depths of my soul. But, you know, we don't live any longer in the fourth century, when the concept of the Trinity was first begun. You don't find Trinity in the Bible. You don't find the word there. But in the fourth century, Christians fought over it. They killed each other over this dogma. They killed each other over it. We no longer live there. We no longer live in a three-tiered universe where God is up out there beyond the sky, just over the sky on the other side. We don't live in that world anymore. At least I don't. I hope you don't. But in the three-tiered universe, we don't live there. The sky God is gone. For most of us, the sky God is dead, and that's good. We live in the 21st century. We have a different understanding of who we are and what the universe is all about. We have a whole new universe story. We have a whole new evolved spirituality and theology and God view and worldview than we had even a century ago. And yet, many Catholics, many Christians are still in the 16th century with their understanding of God and the world. They haven't come up to the 21st century. But many of us have. So how do you understand the Trinity today in the 21st century? Well, I think I'd like to offer you a perspective, a view that you could have of the Trinity that makes sense today and that may be even helpful in your own prayer life. I don't know. But as Karl Rahner, the great Catholic theologian of last century, probably the best theologian of last century, a Jesuit, German, he said, let's just call God the incomprehensible mystery and leave it at that. God is incomprehensible mystery. So, but we have to speak of God. So we have to use language. And we talk about the Trinity. So, however, our language and our understanding are inadequate. If you think you know who God is by knowing the Trinity, then you don't know who God is. But let me say this. For me and for many others today, God is infinite creativity. I can remember having a conversation with a friend of mine going down to play golf down in Tubac. We were talking about who's God to you and who's God to me. And for me, anyways, God is infinite creativity, infinite creativity. God is infinite consciousness, infinite awareness, and God is infinite intelligence. That's who God is for me. That's the Trinity for me. What we Christians have called the Father is infinite creativity and transcendent source of all creation and all creativity. And so the source is this vast, we're told, a void, a vast darkness that is nonetheless filled with light. And this vast void, before the Big Bang, this vast void, this vast darkness filled with light, it contains the potential for billions and billions of universes and billions of beings. We have to get over this thing about us being the greatest thing God ever created. I'm sorry, we're not. There might be greater beings in this universe and universes than we are. We are not the center of the universe any longer. We need to get over that. But then, too, let's look at, so God is the Father, God's only begotten Son, we are told, is the product of God's unfolding, of God's, the Father's, begetting, or we could say the Mother's giving birth. The only begotten Son is the Christ, and all of us humans are members of the Christ. We must remember that. We all are. St. Paul said, the whole of creation groans in childbirth as it gives birth to the sons and daughters of God. That is, to humans enlightened as to their own divinity. You see, we understand now our destiny. Our destiny as human beings, then, as God's sons and daughters, our destiny as members of the Christ is enlightened awareness and consciousness. Our destiny is infinite awareness, infinite consciousness. So that's why I like the proof of heaven, Dr. Alexander. After he died, brain dead, body dead, consciousness is what survives us in how he experienced new things and new experiences through his consciousness. But I won't get off the track here today. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is infinite intelligence. Infinite intelligence, when you look at it, is the engine that drives creation, evolution. It's what's behind it. It's the Spirit. People call it by different names, but it's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit grows us from the inside. Inside out. Not above, not outside, but from the inside. And so the Spirit, infinite intelligence, guides our growth. And this is what the spiritual life is all about. It guides our growth so that we can grow into the Godhood. And just as Jesus did. And so Jesus tells us that he has to go in order to send the Spirit. So that the Spirit, if you follow it through John's Gospel, if you follow what Jesus is saying, and sadly this has not been emphasized in the Western Christianity, more so in the East, but Jesus wanted us and still wants us to become consciously divine ourselves. That is to realize who we really are. That we are made in the image and likeness of God, that we're divine. That's what Jesus wanted us to know. So, in the end, why do we have Trinity? Why do we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why do we have for me, infinite creativity, infinite awareness, infinite intelligence. Why not just God? Why not just God and leave it at that? Well, because, I don't know about you, but I prefer a Trinity. Because, like St. Augustine, I think that the most essential part of Jesus' revelation is that God is love. That is the primary Christian revelation. It is distinct, though not contradictory, to the revelations of the other great religions. Love, however, requires what? Both a lover and a beloved. No, it requires a threesome. You have the lover, the beloved, and the loving. That's the Trinity. The essence of God in Christian revelation is therefore a relationship. God is relationship. The Father loves by emptying all that the Father is to the Son in and through the Holy Spirit, to His Son, the Christ, the Beloved, which, by the way, is all of creation as well as you and I. And then we, in turn, as God's sons and daughters, in the Spirit, are to return that love to the Father, to God, by loving one another as He loved us, we're told. And so we, like Jesus, we must eventually consciously realize, and we must, as He did, claim our divinity, and then not clinging to your divinity, because it's nothing to be clung to, we're told, but rather lovingly we empty ourselves in the service to others, as Jesus showed us how. That's what it's all about. When you and I realize the Christ within us, when we give ourselves away in service to others, then you and I become love. We're participating in the Trinity and in the Trinitarian life. So in the end, God the Father is source, is that principle of infinite creativity from which all of creation continually springs forth. The Spirit is the infinite intelligence that animates us and the universe, creation, and it grows it from the process of evolution. In Christ, in whom all humans participate, and of whom all humans are members, is both the firstborn of creation, the Alpha, as well as the end of evolution, which is Omega. Infinite, infinite divine consciousness, awareness. So in the end, thank God we don't have to kill one another over a concept. Because you know what? In the end, it isn't a concept. It isn't a belief. I've given up on all beliefs. No. It's a reality. It's the ultimate reality that we're pointing towards when we're saying the Trinity. It's a life whose divine life that you and I are created to participate in now. And so we do that. I believe we participate in the Trinity when we're creative and when we love. And when we love everyone and everything, because if we have grown in consciousness, we will be aware that it's all God. It's all divine.